11 o'clock hour. Don't forget about your keyword to cash this hour. The word is
Hero, H-E-R-O, Hero. Text it into 72881.
We'll put up some more pictures. It's Arts and Crafts Day. We're decorating ceramic pumpkins in the studio. How's yours coming along so far?
I'm going to be peeling the backs off this black paper for the rest of my life.
We are going to be at the Home and Garden Show coming up in Overland Park in a few weeks.
This should be more fun than this.
And they want these. Well, last year it was like watercolors and we can do whatever we want. This time we were
glitter
given
glitter and pens and here, be creative.
No, we got assignments this time. So we will have pictures. Follow us on Twitter at Cambies Radio. By the way, when do people start carving pumpkins? It's still too early here on October 3rd, right?
I think so, because don't they rot after a while? So I don't know how long they last out in the outside.
All right, joining us right now to chat about a number of things as we bring the politics last hour national back to the local level. Big day yesterday in the race for Kansas City mayor is Jason Kander has reached out to the world, letting a letter out via Twitter that he is going to be battling with his PTSD and that it is inappropriate for him to run for mayor of Kansas City. Joining us to shed some light on what's next, welcome in Steve Vockrott of the Kansas City Star. Steve, as always, we appreciate the time. Bombshell news about 1:30 in the afternoon yesterday.
Yeah, certainly was. It wasn't what I was expecting. I was working on another story when Jason sent his note that you referenced over Twitter, and I noticed it, and it was a very lucid, very well-written, very thoughtful note that discussed how in the 11 years since he left Afghanistan as an Army intelligence officer, he's been trying to outrun depression and post-traumatic stress disorder from his experiences in Afghanistan, and that he has come to a realization that he could no longer outrun it, and that he was going to be forced to confront the issues that he's had associated with his depression, and that in doing so, he would no longer be able to run for mayor. And his decision to get out of the race certainly is changes things up much in the same way as his decision was to get into the race in the first place.
What's been the reaction in the 20 hours or so since this came out?
The broad reaction nationally, and you're still seeing this on television screens if you have them on cable news shows, is, you know, a lot of support, a lot of plaudits for Jason for coming forward with a very personal story, for encouraging others with PTSD to seek help. And, I think a lot of people have said it was a very courageous move on his part. People are supportive all the way on up to, Joe Biden made a reference to Jason on Twitter, saying that he was saving lives by doing what he was doing. The reaction has been very favorable. We don't see politicians often disclose these types of, like, very personal issues in the way that Jason did it. And so I think the reaction has been generally positive.
Steve, the talk show and political junkie, a talk show host and political junkie inside of me looked at this and said, wow, it is an amazing thing that he is doing and we wish him nothing but the best. And considering his standing in the Democratic Party 16 months from now, hopefully he deals with this in a manner he has it under control. Does that perhaps creep into your mind that maybe he aspires something bigger, something more impactful across the globe than just mayor of Kansas City?
Well, it's always hard to tell with Jason. I mean, Jason's clearly a young, 37 years old. He's young. He's ambitious. He's got a lot. He certainly has a future ahead of him. And I don't think getting out of the Kansas City mayor's race precludes, involvement and future involvement in public life. And in fact, his note references that he wants to get back in it at some point. We don't know what that is. I mean, there's always been a lot of speculation about what Jason wants to do. Not a lot of it comes directly from him. It's just people kind of reading into the things that he does, the moves that he makes. But I don't think we've heard the last of Jason Kander by any stretch of the imagination.
So let's talk about the Kansas City mayor's race then. For those that don't recall, when Jason Kander got into the race, Jolie Justice announced that she was bailing out of it and was going to give her support to Jason Kander. Now that he's out and we're still in the filing period, what do we think is going to happen?
Well, Jolie Justice is thinking about what she's going to do next. I would suspect that she's giving a very hard look at the possibility of getting back into the mayor's race. I think she would be at or near the top of a list of promising mayoral candidates. She was sort of seen as one of the front runners when Jason got in, and then she got out to defend her 4th District City Council seat. So a lot of what happens next hinges in some measure on what she decides to do. Let's say she gets back into the race. I think she clearly becomes one of the top tier contenders right away, along with a handful of others. But it makes it a very different race. You know, there isn't a clear cut favorite with Jason Kander out of the race. You have a group of people who have experience as city council members, some who have 2 terms and they're termed out, like Scott Wagner, Scott Taylor, Jermaine Reed. You've got a couple who are risking their continued position of power in the city, like Jolie Justice and Quentin Lucas, by running, even though they could defend their council seat for another term. So you have a group of experienced city council members. You also have a group of people on the outside who are not currently elected, haven't been elected, people like Phil Glynn, people like Steve Miller, who are raising money and meeting with people and trying to build their campaigns. And so you get this you get a crowded primary, and whenever you have a circumstance where there are a lot of people in the primary, it makes it very difficult to predict who really rises to the top, because a lot of people can kind of crowd others out, and it'll be a fascinating race. I think in some ways it makes the race more interesting. I think there's going to be kind of a renewed focus on the issues with Jason no longer in the race, and people trying to kind of differentiate themselves, contrast themselves with their competitors with new and different ideas that I think will probably get a little bit more attention now that you have a more competitive mayoral race for next year.
Talk with Steve Vockrod of the Kansas City Star here on 98.1 KMBZ. My question about Jolie Justice getting back in is, what does that say to voters? And will they, maybe they were Jolie fans, maybe they were Kander fans, will they all just get behind her? Can they trust Jolie Justice?
Well, I know that a lot of people were disappointed when Jolie got out the first time, when Jason jumped in. But I think they understood it. I think they understood the calculation. Jason was going to be very tough to beat. Nobody's ever unbeatable in politics. You know, the political landscape is littered with claims of people who had no chance of losing and then did end up losing. But there would have had to been a lot of things that needed to go wrong for Jason, a lot of things that needed to go right for his competitors, for another candidate to win. I think it makes sense. I mean, if Jolie Justice does get in, it's not, I don't know how much of a issue that becomes for her if people try to make this idea stick that, you know, she's flip-flopping or, you know, being politically calculating. I think it made all the sense in the world to try to defend her council seat. And so if she got back in, I don't know that that becomes a major issue for her in terms of being criticized for that decision. You know, you do wonder a bit about the momentum of a campaign. She had been laying the groundwork for a mayoral run for quite a while before she decided to get out. Then she renews her focus on her district, 4th Council District seat, which covers, you know, mostly Brookside and downtown. Now she sort of has to get that apparatus to get a citywide vote up and running again. That may pose some difficulty, but I don't see it being a major issue for her as she kind of renews it, or if she decides to renew her mayoral ambitions.
Talk real quick about the Kansas governor's race, because there are new polling numbers out that show that Laura Kelly has a lead over Kris Kobach.
Yeah, the polls that I've seen show about a percentage point or two a lead, but in statistics, we know if it's within the margin of error, which is usually about 3 to 4 points, it's statistically meaningless, which essentially is a dead heat. So, yeah, it's clearly going to be a very close race for the Kansas governor. You know, it's still hard to gauge, even with the polling, what effect Greg Warman has. He's the independent candidate who's polling around high single digits, low double digits. You know, it's hard to discern, you know, does he take votes away from Laura Kelly? Does he take a few votes away from Kris Kobach? You know, what does he have some type of spoiler effect? I think the bottom line in this race is it is going to be very close. I would expect the polling to remain very tight right up until Election Day.
Never a dull day, Steve. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Steve Vakrot from the Kansas City Star joining us. It is to be fascinating, and we didn't even get into the Yoder Sharice Davids, you know, competition race going on right now. I guess it's a competition, but it is to me a fascinating next couple of months. What do we have? Let's see, 31 days in October, so 28 left, and we vote on November 6th. So we have 34 days till Election Day.
Yeah,
34 days until you'll be able to find out who will be after the Brownback era, because mm-hmm. Collier was still part of the Brownback regime.
Right.
You'll find out who, you know, does Kevin Yoder fight off Sharice Davids? The primary for the Kansas City mayor is not till April.
Right.
So that drama will continue to build as we get closer to Election Day in November. Coming up, what are you going to pay more for? What are you cool with always spending that extra 50 cents, dollar, $2? What's something you'll pay more for? And what if we gave you $1,000 to do so with? What is our keyword to cash this hour?
Hero, H-E-R-O, Hero. Text it in to 72881.
It's Midday with Jamie and Wicket. What are you spending more on? Just, you always don't care. You'll always buy that name brand. Make sure you text in 22980 or jump in line 576-7798. All right, 576-7798. You can also text in at 22980. What's something you'll always spend a few extra bucks on?
Food.
All right.
Really good food.
Okay.
Really good meal that, you know, is a really special thing, and the food's really good. And I'm hitting the age where I'm having to spend more money on particular makeup products and stuff like that, skincare products that work better. And so you start to realize what you can't do on the cheap anymore.
All right. Okay. The story comes to us out of Fox News, and it's asking or telling what some people will always spend good money on. And what it's okay to buy cheap.
And feel free to text in what you mm-hmm. never go cheap on and what you feel like is okay to skimp on, 22980. Again, out of Fox News, it's official you should never go cheap when buying toilet paper, coffee, or shoes, according to new research. A new study of 2,000 Americans uncovered what things were okay spending good money on and what things it is okay to buy cheap. Results showed Americans think it pays to shell out for toilet paper, coffee, and toothpaste, but they cheap out and save money when it comes to hand soap, wine, and eating out.
Oh.
And I'm the opposite on a couple of those. The survey found a surprising trend that many Americans will happily buy their clothes on the less expensive side. Nearly 7 in 10 Americans polled, or 68%, reported they buy their casual shirts on the cheaper side. And another 58% said they emphasize saving money when it comes to buying jeans. Interestingly, dress pants also get the low-cost treatment, with 44% saying they opt for the cheaper ones. And they said, we could make a case that Americans care more about their pets than themselves. Nearly every food item landed on the cheaper side of the list, but Americans shell out when it comes to pet food. Important household items trended toward the expensive side, with beds, couches, chairs, and TVs cracking the spend list. Also landing on the expensive side were skincare items, makeup, large household appliances, and computers and laptops. The results showed that when it comes to America's relationship with money, 83% consider themselves to be smart and savvy with money, but the average American says they only get good value out of half of their purchases.
There's not much I go cheap on, but there's also not much I make sure I buy brand name. One thing I know, and I don't buy this item very often, peanut butter.
Okay.
Always go Jif or something in that realm. I don't go for the cheap brand of peanut butter. I don't buy it that often, but always peanut butter. Lunch meat.
Okay.
Although I don't eat a ton of it anymore.
Not something I buy very often.
But I would always go Oscar Mayer, you know, or something on that realm. You brought up food for a dog. I would have been okay if we bought the $20 bag of dog food, but my wife, for our dog, we buy Blue Buffalo, and it is a $50 bag of dog food that we get delivered every 2 months from Amazon.com. So we definitely splurge on dog food.
And if you're texting in, be sure that you're being clear about what you consider a splurge versus, you know, what you think is okay to spend good money on versus not. So here are the items that Americans choose to save on, if you need this to jog your memory a little bit. Hand soap, dish soap, the list is long. Paper towels, wine, eating out, small household appliances, socks, sunglasses, belts. This list is so strange to me. Jewelry, produce, bread, cheese, snacks, spaghetti sauce, beer, bottled water, milk, over-the-counter medicine, sunscreen, razors, cooking supplies, soda, phone chargers, headphones, shampoo, cereal, pizza, and garbage bags. What an odd list.
Okay.
Here's what they choose to spend more on, and then we'll go to news here in a sec. Toilet paper, toothpaste, toothbrush, skincare, coffee, dress shirts, shoes, large household appliances, computers, mobile devices, coats, facial creams and cleansers, TVs, pet food, laundry detergent, bed, couches, chairs, and makeup.
I'm trying to keep up with as fast as you're reading that, but I'm writing down what I spend on and what I've got cheap on that list. And I kind of split on both of those based on that. What do you spend the extra couple of bucks on every time you buy it, whether it's an everyday or every week item? What about when you go out and splurge? And what do you go cheap on? Let's be real here. Type in, by the way, when you text us, I go cheap on blank.
Right.
Or type in, I spend on. Or give us a call. 576-7798. Text 22980. Dan Weinbaum, what do you go cheap on when you go to the store?
Oh.
Or spend the extra dollar on instead?
Most
things.
I'm always looking for the cheapest and the bargain.
Okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter as long as you save 50 cents.
Well, I mean, if I'm going for quality, then, you know, I'll research and...
Okay.
And depending on what I'm buying. I mean, sure.
How about toothpaste?
Toothpaste?
Do you go high-end Crest, or do you just say whatever's got whatever in it?
I typically go with one brand because it's worked for me.
Okay. All right. Money you spend on different items, what you go cheap on, and what you will spend a few extra shekels on. 576-7798, or you can text it at 22980.
So they asked Americans what you choose to save money on and the things that you're willing to splurge on. And it's interesting because they also have at what point you think certain items become expensive, and we'll run through that. But here's the list again of the items that Americans choose to save on.
Save on, okay.
Okay, that they feel like is not worth splurging on. Hand soap, dish soap, paper towels, wine, eating out, casual shirts, small household appliances, jeans, dress pants, dresses, socks, handbags, sunglasses, belts, jewelry, produce, bread, cheese, butter, chips and snacks, spaghetti sauce, beer, bottled water, milk, over-the-counter medicine, sunscreen, razors, cooking supplies, soda, phone chargers, headphones, shampoo, cereal, pizza, and garbage bags. The items Americans choose to spend more on include toilet paper, toothpaste, toothbrush, skincare, coffee, dress shirts, shoes, large household appliances, laptops, computers, mobile devices, coats, facial creams and cleansers, TVs, pet food, laundry detergent, bed, couches, chairs, and makeup.
Let's see. Of all those things, and I wrote down as fast as I could, I don't know. I don't drink cheap beer, but I don't drink expensive beer. Like, if I go to the, like, I went to the store yesterday and I bought a case of Miller Lite. That's not Busch Light or Natural Light, where a lot of people go because they say it doesn't matter. They just want to get a buzz, and who cares? And it's not, I'm not spending, you know, $12 on a six-pack of beer. So I'm kind of in the middle on beer. If I ate cereal, which I haven't had a bowl of cereal in 3 or 4 years, and that was at a hotel, I would spend the extra few bucks on Fruity Pebbles and not like Fruit Rocks. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I just spend the extra nickel on that. What about potato chips? You're not a chip guy. Travis, you're a chip guy, right? You go to the store and buy a bag of Doritos from time to time.
Sure.
Okay. Play along, Travis. I appreciate
that. I'm more
that.
Of a it's the Lay's, but it's like the double cooked baked. I don't know the name of them.
So you're always those you're spending the extra buck on the name brand potato chips.
Yep. If I do buy chips, that's what I do.
I bought fake Doritos once, and they were awful. I'll never do it again. Fake Doritos are not Doritos, but I will buy fake Lay's. There's just something different there.
There's a lot of things I actually mostly buy name brand stuff because food-wise, I can always tell the difference.
Yeah,
I mean, some people say they don't, but for the most part, I can tell the difference on all non-name brand foods. It just tastes – it honestly tastes cheap to me, and it's just not good. I know it's supposed to be cheap, but – It tastes cheap and it's not good to me.
I'll go cheap on paper towels.
Yeah, me too, but not toilet paper.
No, never. No. I never go below 2-ply. My mother taught me a few things. It was toilet paper and peanut butter. Those are the two things. And hot dogs. I will always buy all beef hot dogs. Never just whatever else is in there. Bread, I'll go cheap on, but I buy white bread. So it's like sandwich bread, whatever's a dollar.
I buy low-calorie bread, which is always more expensive, which is always amusing. That's always a little higher. I can tell the women that are texting in. because anything that has to do specifically with me being a woman, I'm going to spend more money on. Okay. Somebody just said bras. Yeah, don't go cheap on that because they're going to stretch out. You're going to have to replace them anyway.
I think I was at Aldi the other day and they were selling like women's undergarments. I'm like, who's coming to Aldi? With all due respect to our friends at Aldi, I shop at you all the time.
Yeah.
Especially now that I live down the street from one. I'm not so sure I'm buying a nightgown or women's clothing at Aldi.
No. Aldi also sells a lot of makeup, a lot of women's products. But I just think you hit a certain point in life where about to turn 40, I have certain brands of everything that I'm just going to buy no matter how much money they are.
What do you do with laundry detergent?
Cheap.
I do too.
I don't care.
I do too. I don't care.
I don't wear anything expensive or anything that, nor do I own anything that has to be dry cleaned. So no, I don't care about laundry detergent.
Travis, do you spend the extra buck for Tide or $4 for Tide, or do you buy whatever is cheapest?
No, I buy the regular because the cheapest stuff breaks me out.
Oh, okay. All right. I understand.
And that's
that.
The same with dryer sheets. The dryer sheets will
basically break
me out in hives if I use cheap stuff.
Okay, I get that. I understand.
Here's what they said. At what point you think certain items become expensive? In other words, I won't necessarily pay for this at that point. For instance, a steak dinner, they say, becomes expensive at $34.
That
feels cheap to me.
That's actually, if I'm going to go to Anton's, it's my favorite steak place in Kansas City.
Or Pierpont's.
I expect a minimum of a $30, $35 steak. And then if I'm going to have a potato and a couple glasses of wine, like $200 is about what I'll spend for a steak dinner with Lee.
Yeah.
You know, get a bottle of wine. We'll each get a good meal, maybe a dessert. That seems cheap.
So, yeah, and they consider it expensive at $34.
Wow.
A bottle of wine is expensive at $31.
I'll agree with that.
I don't think so.
If I go to the store, yes.
As opposed to it doesn't differentiate between in a restaurant and a store.
Because if I go to the store, I'm expecting to spend $40 for a bottle of wine that I can get for $18 when I go to the store.
But it's what you consider to be expensive, not necessarily what you would buy. I don't know that I'm paying $31 for a bottle of wine unless I know it's good, but I don't consider that to be expensive. It depends on whether it's good, you know?
My wine limit is about $25, and I will rarely get anywhere near there.
I mean, to me, a $100 bottle is expensive, and I'm still not paying much more than $25, but $100 would be expensive. Nice shoes, they say, get expensive at $58.
That seems cheap.
That feels low to me, too.
That feels really low to me.
Good shoes.
Like, if I'm going to go buy a pair of Steve Maddens, and I want them to last, and those things will last for 4, 5, 6, 10 years, whatever, depending on, and I don't wear nice shoes that often. I'll spend $100 on a pair of shoes and I'll feel okay with that. I mean, my wedding shoes were only $35, but I only have worn them 6 times since I got married.
Yeah, I mean, if they're running shoes, then you need them to be in better shape. Pizza at $20 is expensive.
I mean, for a pizza?
Yeah, a pizza.
We were at the other place, you know, the bar in Overland Park, paid $24 for a large taco pizza. $24 wasn't that bad.
It depends on how much you're putting on it, you know? But, if a pizza's getting much over $20, it better be amazing.
Okay. like the cheeseburger pizza from Minsky's.
It just if it's over $20, it should be really, really, really flashy.
Okay.
So,
what about when it comes to bottled water? Are you one of those? Do you buy a lot of bottled water?
No.
I never have it at home.
No.
And I don't understand people paying $4 for a bottle of Fiji water as opposed to a buck and a quarter for the Aquafina.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
I don't get it either. It's so much waste involved in that. Like, you're so much better off buying some kind of water filter for at home.
Or just drink the tap.
Yeah.
We drink tap water.
I rotate through, like, I always have a few bottles on me, but I just refill them like we do.
Yeah.
Like you have here.
Yeah. Butter?
I don't buy butter.
What?
I don't use butter.
Ever?
What do you use it on?
Bagels.
No. Nope.
Sandwiches.
Nope.
Bread itself.
Nope.
I use it to cook. I use it to grease pans.
Nope.
None of that?
I use almost exclusively olive oil for pans, and I don't bake, so I don't use it, and I don't eat toast.
I've never heard anyone say I don't buy butter.
I don't really have a use for it. I don't really make anything that needs it.
Travis, do you buy butter?
I don't buy bagels.
Yeah. It's like a non-salt, like some type of fat-free butter.
All right. You spend a little extra money on your butter?
I think the butter we buy compared to like your non-name brand and your high-name brand, we're probably in the middle of like either 25 cents cheaper or 25 cents expensive. So it's not that, you know, too much more expensive
baked
than
potatoes?
Any other big brand.
No baked potatoes for you with butter at home?
I couldn't tell you the last time I made a baked potato at home.
Wow. Okay.
It's just not my first choice of, if I'm going to go carb, baked potato is not the way I'm going.
I know you don't drink a lot of soda.
No, never. Except for the Diet Coke I was going to have in here right now.
What is that?
Caffeine.
I just was at Aldi and I bought, for the first time, because I normally will just buy Coca-Cola or whatever, I bought Dr. Dazzle, which is their version of Dr. Pepper. There's an easy taste difference. I don't know if I would do it again, but there's an easy taste difference, but it's still fine and it saved me $2.
I am shocked that garbage bags are on the list of things that people choose to save on. That's not where I'm skimping.
What kind of garbage bags do you buy?
I can't remember, but I don't get the cheapest one.
I go 13-gallon with the drawstring.
Yeah.
Travis, what kind of garbage bags do you buy?
I just know it comes in a red box.
Yep. That's about it.
Because I will spend more to have the drawstring. I don't want the flaps that I have to tie because that becomes a mess. I'll spend the $13.
Yeah.
Or $13. I'll spend the extra couple of bucks to have the drawstring.
So here are the things that people say they spend more money on. And I don't really care about toothpaste is on that list.
No, I don't really care. I mean, I'll look for a sale.
Yeah.
I'm not a brand loyal toothpaste guy.
No.
I probably won't go with like Steve's toothpaste because I've never heard of it. But if Crest or Aquafresh or any of that is on sale, that's where I'll go.
Let's see. Coffee I don't spend money on because I put creamer in it. And it's going to change it anyway.
We stop at Starbucks often, but we don't have a coffee maker right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for me, it's about the device. And so that's where I'm very French press loyal.
Ah, yes.
Because that will improve your coffee more than anything.
Snooty.
Is the French press. They're $12. That's not snooty.
You look
they are cheaper than it's cheaper than a normal coffee pot.
You look snooty when you drink out of a French press.
It's so much better. You will save so much money in not going to Starbucks because it is so much better than going through. Because it makes sense. The mechanics of it make sense. Your coffee grounds get more exposure to the water than just the single time the water goes through your coffee pot. And so it's stronger, better coffee.
I'm not much of a coffee connoisseur. I mean, people tell me the stuff we have down the hall here isn't very good. I don't know the difference. I don't.
I blame the system, not the product with the coffee we have here.
All right.
So
you can read it on our Facebook page. Let us know. Oh, by the how about this? Medicine. Do you always go with the expensive version of, say, I know you have a bag of ibuprofen. Is that Advil?
No,
or is that,
that's the cheap stuff.
I agree.
Especially for over-the-counter.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the active ingredients and just see what's in them.
Yeah.
So
NyQuil, acetaminophen, whatever.
Yeah.
It's all the same. They just want your extra $3. Give us your answers on Facebook. Facebook.com/98.1KMBZ. It is the best month of the year. We're going to tell you why. We'll also tell you your next keyword. The lunch hour, we'll give you your next keyword to cash just before we get to the 12 o'clock news. I didn't know this was a thing. I know that October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we talked with Michael Levine from the Kansas City chapter of Susan G. Komen. He was in studio with us yesterday. I recommend if you want to hear a great interview and learn more about the rising amount of men diagnosed with breast cancer, go to KMBZ.com and check that interview out. Again, over at KMBZ.com or through the radio.com app. But it is also another reason to love October.
So consider the source of this one. But California Pizza Kitchen did a survey, timed ahead of National Pizza Month, which kicks off this week, saying pizza reigns as Americans' favorite food. If we could eat only one food for the rest of our lives, pizza would be the choice, beating out steak, hamburgers, tacos, and other picks. Again, California Pizza Kitchen did the survey, so just keep that in mind. Pizza was the favorite food of 21% of those surveyed. Steak came in second at 16%, followed by hamburgers at 13%, tacos at 11%, pasta at 11%, salad at 9%. Salad?
Who's like, man, let me eat salad for the next 50 years of my life?
More than anything? You're lying. sushi at 6%, and this breaks my heart to say these words out loud, but macaroni and cheese at 4%. Travis, I'm struggling with that one.
Those people are idiots.
Look, it's not my first choice.
They'll probably starve and die first.
First choice for the rest of your life is macaroni and cheese.
All right, what's yours?
I mean, did they ask four-year-olds about that one?
No, they asked people who have an appreciation for cheese and noodles.
Cheese product.
Could be
powdered orange cheese product.
Could be real cheese.
And I don't know that I would even call those noodles.
They could be real cheese.
Kids food.
A lady I used to work with made the best homemade mac and cheese. It was like four different cheeses. Oh, it was so good.
I would rather eat glue.
Very few people actually make it homemade like that, though. Most people are just getting, you know, the easy mac.
All right, Travis, what's your choice? You get one food the rest of your life.
Pepperoni pizza.
Very specific, aren't we? Jamie?
Chips and salsa.
Forever?
Forever.
All right.
Give me all the chips and salsa in the land.
I might go tacos. Tacos. Beef tacos, to be specific.
This is good, too. Pizza also was the choice dish when it comes to indulging and straying from the usual diet, beating out ice cream or burger with fries, or fried chicken or tacos. So if you're breaking your diet, which, Wicket, we can't really ask, then pizza's the choice for people.
Is that you? You eat healthier than
alcohol
most.
Alcohol is usually the first choice if I'm breaking from the diet.
Well, nobody told me I could choose beer, and that's all I get to consume the rest of my life, because there's my answer.
And pasta, to me, is I'm getting more out of that splurge than pizza, usually.
Okay.
So, or French fries.
I would probably go tacos. I mean, steak is great, though. I would never pick a seafood of any kind, because I would get, I mean, I can have salmon, but it's a once a month thing.
Yeah.
Or something along those lines. Hamburgers? Travis, cheeseburgers rest of your life? Could you pull that one off?
No, I'd get tired of it.
Yeah, probably.
All right. Boys, how do we feel about eating pizza with a knife and fork?
I don't hate it.
But
it's not my preference, but if the pizza has a lot on it, I don't want to have to pick that up with fear of it all falling off.
Yeah.
So I'm okay with eating it with a knife and fork.
No.
Of course.
If it falls off, then you just literally pick it back up and put it back on your pizza.
I could tell Travis that the sky was blue, and he would tell me it was green.
Yeah.
He's in that kind of mood today. I feel like. Travis, are you in a bad mood today?
No, I'm not, but
see,
you don't
you just disagree
with
me
fork
again.
And knife.
Well, if it's super thick and there's a lot of, and it's like if you have not just sausage, but like large pieces of sausage. Some places, especially in Chicago, will put the toppings will be oversized toppings. Thick pieces of pepperoni, large pieces of sausage, large pieces of chicken. That stuff's going to fall off.
No.
Yeah, right?
That stuff's falling off. You pick it up with your hand, and if it falls off, you scoop that piece back up, or you scoop up whatever fell and put it on the next slice.
You scoop it up with your knife and your fork.
With your hand.
22% of people say they would not go on a second date with someone if they ate pizza with a fork and knife on the first date.
Are you kidding me?
Amen.
Even more millennials, 32%, felt that way.
Amen to them.
See, millennials.
Hell yeah, millennials.
Now millennials are ruining eating pizza with a knife and fork.
Millennials are taking over the world, and I love it.
Well, we are taking over the world. We're ruining everything on the way over, but we're taking over. Dan Weinbaum, thumbs up or thumbs down on eating pizza with a knife and fork?
Well, I mean, if that's how you have to handle it, if you can't handle it,
if you can't handle it.
I mean,
I think Dan's
condemning it right now without saying you people are idiots.
I think the biggest news at the moment is, did I hear you admit that you are part of the millennial generation?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I came to that realization earlier in the summer.
But usually it's followed by, but only, like, I'm borderline though.
Four months.
You're the oldest.
I'm an elder millennial.
Still
is what I
elder
am.
Elder millennial.
Elder. Lee is 18 days a millennial, and she hates that. She made the cut by 18 days and can't stand it.
Oh, sorry.
No, pizza is finger food.
You know how there's seven deadly sins? The eighth deadly sin is using a fork and a knife with your pizza.
I don't prefer to do it, but I did the other day because I got a taco pizza at the other place in downtown OP, and the thing was this thick, and it had crushed up tortilla chips on the top. They're going to get everywhere.
Eight deadly sin.